stay connected to the world around you, KPBS brings you trusted news, compelling stories, and in-depth reporting every day. Wherever life takes you, KPBS is here, on the radio, online, and on the go. Discover more at kpbs.org.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Friday, October 31st. How San Diego City College is helping students during the government shutdown. More on that next, but first, let's do the headlines. San Diego landlords could soon face new limitations for charging add-on fees. The City Council's Cost of Living Committee voted Thursday to draft an ordinance that would require landlords to disclose all fees they'll charge when they list a property on the market. It would also cap late fees at 2% of the monthly rent. Several renters shared experiences of being charged sky-high fees that were not disclosed when they signed their lease. Melanie Woods of the California Apartment Association opposed the ordinance.
The goal of the ordinance appears simple: undermine the ability of owners to recover legitimate operational expenses. And the message is clear: San Diego is becoming a high-risk place to be a housing provider.
The Cost of Living Committee voted to start the work of drafting an ordinance that will later be presented to the full City Council. A pretty unique collaboration is launching between Point Loma Nazarene University and the San Diego SEALs lacrosse team. Point Loma students will have an opportunity to gain hands-on experience and work hand-in-hand with SEAL coaches as well as the team's operations staff. Together, students and the pros will be tracking data analytics, executing biometric testing, among other projects with a goal of learning the business of professional sports. Wes Berg, SEALs forward and team captain, had this to say about the collab.
And be able to really, you know, work on that injury prevention and that performance side of it, where, lacrosse, it's pretty physical and it takes a toll on your body, like sports like football, but we don't quite have the same resources and money behind us.
The project's overall mission is to combat against limited access to data and resource analytics in lacrosse. California State Parks is temporarily closing much of the Torrey Pines Natural Reserve. Starting this weekend and going through February of next year, a construction project will close the upper parking lots, the park road, and most trails to vehicles and pedestrians. The construction includes various utility upgrades and aims to increase accessibility with paved pathways. The South Beach and North Beach parking lots, as well as the Torrey Pines State Beach, will remain open during this time. In an annual effort to keep intoxicated motorists off local freeways during Halloween 2026, the California Highway Patrol is set to conduct a 12-hour enforcement operation. Enforcement begins at 6 p.m. tonight per the state agency. CHP says all available officers will be on duty during this period. Drive safe, San Diego. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Stay connected to the world around you. KPBS brings you trusted news, compelling stories, and in-depth reporting every day. Wherever life takes you, KPBS is here, on the radio, online, and on the go. Discover more at kpbs.org.
The federal government shutdown continues to affect people in San Diego County. On Saturday, 400,000 residents who rely on government assistance to buy food may not get it. Education reporter Katie Anastas says San Diego City College is helping students prepare.
Thousands of San Diego County residents are bracing for a loss of CalFresh benefits. Carlos Gonzalez is one of them. He and his mom get a couple hundred dollars a month through the program.
We live in a small house too, and with rent, and then that was kind of the EBT just helping us to pay for the food. So now she's been saying that she's trying to find another job, and I'm trying to get another job too, but a lot of places don't be accepting too. So it's gonna make it a little challenging for sure.
Gonzalez is a student at San Diego City College. The school's food pantry is preparing for increased demand. They've asked the San Diego Food Bank for twice the amount of fresh produce as they usually order. Gonzalez says it will help.
Even just one snack a day or a month, it's still one snack compared to nothing. So I think it'll help for sure. A lot of people, like, I'm not the only one, like, struggling at this moment. There's other people, and they're going to need it for sure.
You can find a list of food resources at kpbs.org. Katie Anastas, KPBS News.
Nearly 400,000 San Diego County residents are on federal food support delivered on state-issued CalFresh debit cards. But those benefits will not be loaded onto the cards this weekend due to the government shutdown. On Thursday, some of San Diego's elected leaders joined the CEOs of the area's two largest food banks to let CalFresh recipients know food will still be available. Feeding San Diego and the Jacobs and Cushman Food Bank both say they're gearing up to distribute much more food. The best place to find help near you is by calling 211 or going to 211sandiego.org. Here's 211 CEO Bill York.
Anyone can simply call 211 to speak with a trained specialist or visit 211sandiego.org, where we have dedicated a full page and search capabilities for all the food assistance for shutdown-related activities.
On Thursday, a federal judge indicated she will intervene to force the Trump administration to spend about $6 billion it has in emergency funding for SNAP, the federal food program. But it's estimated that even if that happens, it will only pay for about 3 weeks' worth of benefits. Another major airline wants to fly out of Carlsbad's McClellan Palomar Airport. County supervisors would have to approve it, but reporter Jacob Ayer says United Airlines already has tickets for sale.
United Airlines says it wants to fly out of Palomar Airport starting next March. They're proposing four daily trips, two to Denver and two to San Francisco. This would be Palomar's second commercial carrier after nearly a decade without one. Eric Bruvold is CEO of the San Diego North Economic Development Council. He says the new commercial flights will help the growing region.
The flights that have been announced and the flights that have been in place really serve North County's leisure and our business travel.
Not everyone is excited. Citizens for a Friendly Airport has an unresolved lawsuit against the county over American Airlines flights, which began at Palomar in February. The organization's attorney says the group will take appropriate action if the Board of Supervisors doubles down on what the suit says is illegal use of the airport. The county says the proposed lease with United Airlines is scheduled to go to the board early next year. Jacob Ayer, KPBS News.
Yesterday was the opening of the Bing Crosby season, the Del Mar Thoroughbred Club's signature annual event. But as North County reporter Alexander Wen tells us, another signature horse racing event starts on Friday.
The Bing Crosby season is normally a big deal. But this year, for the second year in a row, an even bigger deal is happening this weekend.
Everybody's excited for the Breeders' Cup Classic.
That's right, it's the Breeders' Cup, considered the Super Bowl of horse racing. VP of Marketing for the Del Mar Thoroughbred Club, Aaron Bailey, says it's the culmination of a year of racing.
It's an honor to be able to be in one of these races, and let alone win one of these races.
With a $7 million purse, it's the richest race in America, and that means a lot of money will be spent at the tracks and around town.
Collectively, Del Mar and the Breeders' Cup put about $300 million into this economy.
Last year, the Breeders' Cup alone pumped more than $100 million into the local economy through people staying here and eating out around town. Organizers say they expect around the same amount this year. Alexander Nguyen, KPBS News.
Three new recipients of the San Diego Art Prize were recently announced. Arts reporter Julia Dixon Evans spoke to the winners about their art and the award's impact on San Diego's visual arts scene.
Ingrid Hernandez's Tijuana Photography, Tatiana Ortiz Rubio's abstract cloud murals, and Danielle Dean's video installations exploring capitalism. As different as this year's Art Prize winners are, Ortiz Rubio pointed out a big connection.
I also think it's quite important that we are three women working mothers, and I find that very meaningful today.
Established in 2006, the prize celebrates the border region's visual arts talent with a little cash and a culminating exhibition happening next fall at Oceanside Museum of Art. The judges are out-of-town curators, a way of getting the word out about local artists and, in turn, putting San Diego's art scene on the map. Danielle Dean is curious about the way capitalism and social systems play out in archives and media. She works with video, performance, and installation art, often combining all three, like in a recent project called Amazon.
You would walk in and there was four, it was a five-channel video installation, so there was four monitors and one massive large projection and loads of props that look like plants to kind of make you feel like you were in the Amazon jungle. And you would see people on the screens who were sort of interacting with each other, but at the same time not.
It's inspired by Fordlandia, a work camp constructed in 1928 by Henry Ford in the Brazilian rainforest as a sort of rubber manufacturing utopia. It failed after just a few years. Photographer Ingrid Hernandez explores Tijuana's unique, sometimes autonomous, housing communities.
It's focused on how people build spaces, living spaces. Often they use once wear material discarded from maquiladoras, factories in Tijuana, and second-hand wood or plastic or even rocks.
Some photos show structures from afar, askew on uncertain foundations, pops of silvery tarp. The indoor photos hint at her access and intimacy. She's not just documenting. She's part of their story.
I spent at minimum 1 year and a half, 2 years, three. I had friends there, and I really interested in develop a relationship with the people in there because I think that that changed the way that I can see their spaces.
Tatiana Ortiz Rubio's art is inspired by time and care.
I caregive for my daughter who has complex disabilities, and I know in the underlying of my work, it has always been present, this idea of how someone with an intellectual disability experiences time differently. Sadly, it is completely based on what a productive body can offer to society.
Recently, she created a living installation of medical equipment and chairs her daughter had grown out of and used medication bottles, a tangible representation of objects that, in her home, signify the passage of time.
For us, they represent our whole story. So our time, her life in this world. They represent our hope, also some pain.
Ortiz Rubio is also known for her cloud-like murals drawn with charcoal. She began one mural the day she got the call about her daughter's diagnosis. She likened the feeling to flying through the thick layer of fog and clouds tangled in the mountains surrounding Mexico City, her hometown.
And then you cross through them and there's this vertigo. I remembered that feeling for some reason when I was in there. That's what I started drawing.
The three women's work feels cohesive. It deftly, sharply observes and questions what is right in front of us, what is real, and what is possible. Julia Dixon Evans, KPBS News.
All right, SDNN listeners, it is Halloween weekend in America's finest city, and here are some weekend event ideas for you and yours. Happening tonight and in spooky fashion, I might add, is Nightmare on Normal Street 2025. They're calling it the Ultimate Hillcrest Halloween Bash. Ghouls and ghosts will haunt University Avenue, starting at 5 and going until 11 p.m. It features live music, a costume competition, and an outdoor bar. By Saturday, maybe your spookiness has worn off a bit, and you feel like a multi-mile bike ride. If so, then Bike the Coast, happening on Saturday, might be for you. The event brings first-time riders alongside experienced ones, and of course splits them up accordingly based on ability. Whichever distance or route you choose, it all ends along Oceanside's coastline at the Finnish Festival. You can visit bikethecoastsd.com for more info. On Sunday, there is the Carlsbad Village Street Fair. It starts bright and early at 8 a.m. until 4 p.m. and features over 700 unique vendors selling art, antiques, clothing, and more. That takes place in the downtown village of Carlsbad. That's it for the podcast this week. The podcast this week was edited by Brooke Ruth and Quinn Owen. This podcast is hosted and produced by me, Lawrence K. Jackson. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Thanks for listening and subscribing, and most importantly, supporting public media. Have a great weekend.
Stay connected to the world around you. KPBS brings you trusted news, compelling stories, and in-depth reporting every day. Wherever life takes you, KPBS is here, on the radio, online, and on the go. Discover more at kpbs.org.